You are listening to the 1% Christian, the daily Bible study where we get together for 1% of our day. We study God's word and then we head out to the remaining 99% to do something amazing with this life that God's given us. I'm Pastor J.D. Ambrosio with Sound of Heaven Church in Deer Park, New York. I invite you to check us out at soh.church. While you're there, download our mobile app. We've got a digital Bible on there, but all of our resources, all of our articles, our teachings, there's an online community that you can be a part of. And if you're listening anywhere where you get your podcasts, like, share, subscribe, turn on your notifications, invite somebody. We don't want you to miss anything, and we don't want anyone to miss the opportunity to learn from the Word of God. Amen. Well, like I was just telling our live stream folks here just a second ago, this is the start of Matthew chapter 28. And it's a little bit bittersweet because we've put a good bit of time into the Gospel of Matthew. It has to be about 10 months ago. We began Matthew after we completed the Gospel of John, and we did have a little bit of a break over the summer months, but we've invested our time, our lives into 160 episodes. This is actually episode, I think, 159, if I'm correct. And, you know, I was thinking this morning, I hope that we were able to, you know, present the gospel in a way that honored God, and I believe that we did. I believe that we have, and I believe that we will continue to do so because we go through the Word methodically. We go through it, I believe, thoughtfully, and we don't just try to pull things out for our own use, but to really understand the original meaning and the intent. And you know, I'm reminded that we could really start over tomorrow at Matthew chapter 1, and because God's Word is living, we can glean all new revelation from start to finish. And that's the beauty of the Christian walk when we're willing to, you know, get into the scriptures, is that you never stop learning. There's always new levels of understanding because we serve a God that says, call to me and I'll answer you and I'll give you great and unsearchable things that you do not know or would not know. And that means that there are things that we couldn't find on our own. But just because we couldn't find it on our own doesn't mean that we can't attain the knowledge. God, we serve a God that wants us to know him more, wants us to know him and what? To make him known. So we start in Matthew 28, and from the bottom of my heart, I thank you for being with me through this journey. Again, hope you were blessed, and I'm super excited to, in the next few weeks, I'll make some announcements, kick off the book of Acts, which I think is going to take us to a whole new level of how we apply our faith, because that's what turned the world upside down. The men and women that were willing to emulate Jesus, and they changed the entire world. And we are a generation, too, that if we would just emulate Jesus in word and in deed, we could also change this world. Amen? Amen. So, starting Matthew chapter 28, and we get to the promised resurrection of Jesus. And I don't know about you, but this makes this like a breath of fresh air. I mean, I've loved every minute of studying this, but what have we studied over the course of the past, you know, more than several weeks? All the hardships that Jesus had to endure, right? The going through the countryside, and despite all of his application of the kingdom of God principles and his teaching, what? He just faced nothing but opposition. Ultimately, his own entrapment. They were always trying to trap him and get him to make mistakes, but he never did. And ultimately, what have we studied? We studied his betrayal and abandonment by those who were closest to him. And I think every one of us can relate to that a little bit, that those that have been close to us have often hurt us. And let's be honest, on the flip side, we often have a tendency to hurt those who are closest to us. And ultimately, his arrest, right? Arrest and his illegal trial that we went through, his abuse, the abuse that he endured, and his execution on the cross. And what made a way for what we're about to read, this glorious resurrection, I just want to bring to your remembrance and hopefully the understanding that you can apply these things to your own life is that Jesus, no matter what he went through, he never gave up. He never allowed the words and actions of other people to derail him from the mission of his life. What if we set out with the commitment and the faithfulness to do the same, that it wasn't dependent upon what other people said, the acknowledgement of other people, or even if, you know, feeling as if we're winning every minute of every day. I mean, if we're real, Jesus had many moments where it looked like everybody was against him, and for the most part, that was true. And when it got hard, right, even when his physical body couldn't withstand the stress, I mean, he sweat blood, he got transparent with the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I just think about that. What if we, when we hit that breaking point, instead of running to some of the things that we run to, we ran to the Father and just got on our face and got transparent before God? Because I love how, and I'll pull in a little bit from the Gospel of Luke here. In Luke, the account says that God sent an angel to minister to Jesus. And it was really in that garden that Jesus crucified his own flesh. You see, they put him on the cross, but Jesus has already crucified himself on his own terms when he said, "Father, if you can, take this cup from me, but what? Let your will be done. Let your will be done." So there's nothing that they could do to him because Jesus had set in his heart that whatever God willed was good enough. And what if we also did the same? Because as we're going to read here, as we start, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 28, 1 through 10 today, that those who are faithful see the miracle. Those who are faithful get a front seat to what it means to witness and be a partaker of the kingdom of God. And I hope you this morning make a commitment before God and before and to yourself that, hey, no matter what it takes, no matter what is coming against me, I will be faithful. I will be on the front lines. And I will be a witness and a partaker and a spreader of the good news, a spreader of God's kingdom. I have something written right here in my office. And it says, be a Jesus following, good news spreading, community serving, kingdom building church. That's what we are. Jesus following, good news spreading, community serving, kingdom building, called out assembly of people. And I'm proud to be, and I'm excited to be that with you. To say amen if that's you, if you're willing to do that. Well, let's take a look at Matthew 28, starting with verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Just a short verse, but I want to spend a good bit of time just on this verse, okay? Because women played such a pivotal role in the ministry of Jesus. We can learn so much from the women that even when he was on the cross, when all the others ran away, they followed at a distance and they were there to comfort him. I believe in my heart that Jesus saw them at a distance. He knew that they were there. But let's look at ways that women were just very, very involved in Jesus' ministry. They supported him financially and logistically. You could look at examples from Mary Magdalene providing support to even the example of the widow who gave the mite. What about how they showed us how to learn. How when Martha was running around and doing all the work, how Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. And what an example. Things can get so busy that we forget to sit at the feet of Jesus. There is a more excellent way. There's plenty of time to do those things, but get that time at the foot of Jesus. They showed us how to evangelize. I think about the Samaritan woman and how when Jesus had shown her love and shown her grace and shown her acceptance at the well, what did she do? She ran. She ran back to the town, and she brought the whole town out to see Jesus. And that's proof positive that you don't have to have all the answers. You just have to be willing to invite people to meet Jesus. I'm hoping in our study you get more answers than you can than when you first got here. But understand, it's not all about what you know. It's about your willingness. God's not looking for perfect. He's looking for willing. And these women, they showed us how to honor Jesus when they poured out the perfume on his head and honored him and prepared him truly for his burial. I can go through a lot of different examples here. But now we have these women who were always the one that were faithful. They get to the tomb. And it's interesting. There's almost like a contrast because it says, obviously we just read, that Rome put the seal on the tomb. And then here in, well, if you, I'm going to pull from the Gospel of Luke again, it says that they came with their spices, right? So I was thinking about this, and when I really did some thought, it's like, well, if Rome put the seal on the tomb, why did the women come with spices? But, you know, they didn't have social media back then. They didn't have cell phones. We have to remember, they probably didn't know that Rome, that the Roman, that Pilate that issued an order, a decree for that. Nonetheless, they get there in the morning, and they get there to continue to honor Jesus. But look what happened. So there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone, and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. So this angel rolls the stone away from the front of the tomb. And the guards there are shaking and says they became like they were dead. They're frozen in fear. And, you know, these are some things that I point to as proof points of the resurrection. One of them we talked a little bit about yesterday is the fact that the punishment for leaving your post or allowing something to be guarded to be infringed upon or falling asleep was death. And so that, which we'll read tomorrow, really to me debunks the fact of the disciples moving Jesus's body. There's a lot of things out there, from Jesus not dying from his injuries to mass hallucination. You hear all of these things, and I find them to be far less plausible than the resurrection themselves. And to get back to the women, the fact that the women were the first to witness this is what is called by scholarship as embarrassing testimony. Now, hear me out here. Embarrassing testimony is when there's historical record, and it's a criterion that is often used to prove that something is more likely to be truthful than not, because the way the record develops is actually not beneficial to the author himself. And how does this apply here? Well, women in the first century Judaism did not have really any credibility at all. In fact, there were instances where their word was not even admissible in court because of the way of the societal structure was. So the fact that the women were the ones that found the empty tomb is a proof point of the resurrection. Because if the men, again, we'll just go in with the mentality then, some of you might say a little bit now, if the men had their way, they would have said, oh, Peter went there and found it. Or Peter went there and intimidated the, intimidated the guards to move the stone. But they didn't. They stayed truthful to what actually happened because maintaining the truth was the only way to do it. Because if they were making it up, they would never would have let the story get out that the women saw it. Because most people would have heard that and said, women? Yeah, we're not gonna believe that. We're not gonna believe a bunch of women. But we see that Jesus broke barriers in so many ways. And the gospel is the great equalizer. You don't neither Jew nor Greek, neither male nor female. Neither slave nor master. The gospel brings us all at the same level. That we all need a savior. That we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. That we all succumb to temptation sometimes. But we all have access to the grace and forgiveness of the loving Father in heaven. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. That makes me eternally grateful that God loves us enough to even the playing field and give us all an opportunity. And this is proof positive with me and you, right? You think about your flaws and your imperfections. I think about mine. Yet God allows for us to be witnesses to him, to witness the miracles. I'll be, I think, 18 or 19 years since I gave my heart completely over to Jesus. I've seen things in these past almost two decades that I can't explain other than that God is real and his miraculous power is real. And just like these women, those who are faithful see the miracle. Let's close out this chapter and get on with our day. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell the disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. And there you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Afraid yet full of joy. They just saw the impossible become possible. And that's what a walk with God will do. It will allow you to see what is humanly impossible become suddenly divinely possible. What? Not through our own, but through Christ. All things are possible through Christ. So the women hurried from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And then suddenly Jesus met them there. "Greetings," he said. They came to him and clasped his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Jesus greets them and says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the impossible." There are things that are so big that you can witness in your life that when they start to develop, it'll give you those butterflies in your stomach. You'll actually be, because look, that's what happens when we come across something that we thought was impossible, or when we encounter things that we think are insurmountable, but God shows us that there's a way. And what we'll study out tomorrow are kind of the dueling reports that go out, but I want to stay here for a moment that Jesus says, do not be afraid of the impossible. Embrace it. Embrace that through him, you don't have any limitations. That through him, you don't have any lack. And as we've witnessed over these past few weeks, with everything that Jesus went through, that there will be hardship in some areas. What did Jesus say? In this world, you will have tribulation, but what? Be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. He's made a way where there is no way, by your power and by my power. But it's not by your power. It's not by my power. It's by his. It's by his. So that's my prayer for you today. It's to realize that Sunday's coming. We say that at Sound of Heaven. Normally toward the end of Holy Week, going into Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. Because we're so reminded of all the things, right? And I hope that when we read through everything that Jesus went through, we realize that man, there's some tough stuff in this world. There's some evil stuff in this world. But Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. And without the resurrection, there is no Christianity. But as we'll maybe talk about in the next few days, the proof of the resurrection is so, so compelling. So that's my word of encouragement for you today, that Sunday's coming. No matter what you're going through, Sunday's coming. If you're willing to be faithful, if you're willing to go, these women were willing to what? Confront the very thing that they were mourning. Confront the very thing that looked as if it was a failure, but it wasn't. And when you go there with the intention to honor God, he'll take what was meant for your destruction and turn it into something that drives your victory through his resurrection. Just give me an amen for that if you receive that. You're not meant to stay in a place of perpetual hurt, perpetual suffering, perpetual mourning. You're meant to be a partaker in his victory. Amen? Sunday's coming. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you. It's beyond words, Lord God, that we can begin to really thank you. We'll do the best that we can. Father, thank you for your resurrection. Thank you that you defeated death. You defeated anything that could ever stop us from being everything that we're called to be. On the cross, through the resurrection. And I know sometimes we feel like we're in that process of the few days between the crucifixion and the resurrection where we're trying to figure out when is it all going to come together. But we sit at your feet, Lord, in anticipation, because you are not a man that you should lie. And your promise is yes and amen and victory. And that is what we hold on to, and that's what we anticipate with eagerness. And we praise you. We praise you in the process. And we celebrate the victory that we have through you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I'm Pastor J.D. Ambrosio, Sound of Heaven Church. Check us out at soh.church. This is the 1% Christian. We're going to continue with Matthew chapter 28 tomorrow. Remember, 100 starts with 1. Now get out there and do something amazing for Christ's sake. I love you guys. Have an awesome day.